Amen. Good morning, people. What a wonderful morning this has been already. Wow, 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 wow. I'm not sure I can even follow that. Praise the Lord. It's been fantastic. It's been such a wonderful 3 weeks with my sister being here. Yay, Linda. She's been blessed. I've been blessed. Somebody gave her a word this morning, loquacious, and that's Linda. She's loquacious. Talk, talk, talk. But we fit together because I talk, talk, talk. Now, this morning, I want to get into a couple little things with you. One of the things that I want to share with you is from the Glasgow Lion Bites that comes out every morning, you know, from the Glasgow Prophets. If you're not signed up for that online, do, because it's really very good for you. This one is from Monday's message. And it says, as the year closes, God says, it's time to regroup with me so that I can relaunch you into the new year. Bring your successes and your failures, the good and the bad, to the table and let's have a chat. Come to the table with every broken emotion and every joyful memory. Sit down and pull up a chair with every idea that worked, every idea that didn't work. Get yourself comfy and relaxed. Bring your weariness and whatever energy you may have left. As I come to the table, God says, I bring truth and perspective. I'll sit down and I'll bring healing and joy. As I pull in my chair, I'll release comfort and a holy motivation. Next to you, I'll get comfy and I'll help you regroup, gather your thoughts, and settle your emotions. But do not think that I want you to stay at this table. No, this is just a time of regrouping and resetting. I'm about to relaunch you. Take that as prophecy. For you have a call, God says, a purpose and a destiny. From this table, I will send you to steward my power, to walk in my ways, to advance my kingdom, and to see signs and wonders. So come to the table with all your heavy burdens and all your baggage, but leave the table free and light and ready to take all that I have for you. Isaiah 1 says, come now, let's settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they will be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's so powerful for us in this time, in this season, in this transition period. Now, remember when I spoke before Christmas, I reminded us of the vision that God has for his people to be made in and to remain in his image and likeness. Remember that? There is a scripture that I came across on Boxing Day that's really good, and it has very special meaning during this time of transition for us. And it's Habakkuk 2:3. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, and it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. God's vision for us will not delay. It will come to us in our time, in God's time. Now, I want you to keep both of those things in mind over the next few weeks while we go through the processes that bring change. We all know that we've got change coming. We know about some of the stuff. Some things are still having to be worked through. But keep those visions in mind. I want to remind us of another vision of God. Not only are we made in his likeness to look like him, but we are also made in the working of his likeness. As he works, so we are to work. As he creates, so we are to create. As he does miracles, so we are commissioned to do miracles. That just blows me away. I mean, I'm like Ian always says, you know, even greater things than Jesus does or we're going to do. We can't even get the stuff done that Jesus got done. How are we going to do greater things? That's the anointing, and that's what we're going to have to rely on. Now, we've had several weeks to process the fact that there are changes coming. I want to remind us of the vision that God himself has for this area, this town, this neighborhood, and this church body. Circumstances may have changed a bit, but the vision has never changed. It's no accident that River has come to Britwell, the Bright Well. It is no freaky thing that prophecies have been spoken over this place, stating that it is a bright well of salvation for the surrounding area, or that new shoots are springing up. And as George said a few weeks ago, it's not just any old wispy grass that's here today and gone tomorrow, but it's acorns, saplings that grow into mighty oaks of righteousness from here, from this place. When River Church opened the doors in this facility, I got so excited. I was I couldn't hardly contain myself. The Queen herself had come and opened the building and dedicated the building. But the Lord deposited this in my spirit. The Queen may have opened it, but the King has come to take up residence. Hallelujah. And this is not his summer palace or his winter retreat. It's his full-time home. But again, not just the physical building, but the hearts and spirits of the people who come to worship him here. That's you and you and you and me. That's everyone who has passed through the doors of this room with worship on their hearts. Even other congregations have been in this place to worship the Lord. When God says in Proverbs 29, where there is no vision, the people perish, he's not kidding. Or where the people's vision has slipped away from God's vision. Or where the vision has morphed into something that was not intended by the Father, the people will perish. Let's once again cast the vision that was placed in the hearts of the ones who planted River in Slough to begin with. Let's remember, too, that when we feel like we've stopped hearing from God or that circumstances seem to indicate that we might have heard wrongly, let's go back to the very last thing we know he said to us. Let's go back and recapture the vision that he planted here in the first place. Has that changed? Don't think so. It is still the Father's heart that there be a spiritual revival in this place. Are we the ones who have been commissioned to usher in that revival? Well, since the word was spoken to us, it would seem that we are the ones, right? Okay. Have we missed something? Do we need to check our heart motives? Do we need to repent? Say sorry for some area where we've missed it? Maybe. And if so, then let's humble ourselves and do that. But most importantly, let's never doubt that we are the carriers of God's Spirit in this place, in this neighborhood, in this town. Each of us in here has had a very powerful spiritual impact in some way or another. The Moody's with their leadership, and the open-handed way that they have allowed the rest of us to blossom in our services. The various prayer groups who stay in the face of God on behalf of the church, the community, and each other. The various outreach ministries. Dorothy with Mums and Toddlers. Job Club. Those who go pray on the streets like Jill and George and Julie. Anne and the allotment and all the people that she's impacted through that. And the ones who witness to the goodness of God in their jobs, like Peter and Val, and Costas and Julie Stent. Barbara and her enthusiasm, even when she felt no breakthrough for herself, who kept reminding us of the joy of the Lord. Sue, who shines for God all over the world in her travels. Florence and the outreach ministries that she carries on with the groups of people that she leads. Florine and Nassim and how they minister to their family and teach them and love them. Pam and Safras with their TV ministry. Corey with his music ministry, Craig and how he keeps our techie stuff all on point most of the time, and all who have spoken the word here. We all have been part of the working out of the vision of God for this area. We may not have seen an increase in numbers of people in this building, but I have seen a tremendous growth in the levels of spirit outworking in all of these people. We have witnessed a great increase of testimony over the last year, especially of how God is working not only in our lives, but in the lives of others because of our continued steadfastness in remaining true to the vision of relationship that God cast over us in the beginning in Genesis. We've all seen great increase in those testimonies. We have remained true to the vision. We have worked out in practical application the three tenets of River: looking on the face of Christ, loving everyone we meet, and living like heaven is near. They're all posted right over there. And all of that should give us an enormous hope for what is next in this great adventure. So I want to talk a little bit about hope. What is hope? The dictionary says this: it's the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. There's over 130 verses in the Bible that talk about hope and settling that hope in the things that God has for us. I'm going to give you a spelling lesson. Hope, H. Hope is having a heavenly perspective, seeing things from God's eye view, knowing that He doesn't look at things like we do. He sees the ending from the beginning. I heard something recently that was a real bringer of hope to me. God is not only the Alpha and Omega, He is also the Omega and the Alpha. The God of the beginning and the ending. The God of the endings and new beginnings. Each season in the Spirit has a beginning and it has an ending. Not a cessation, not as in permanently over or dead, but as in transition. God is at work orchestrating the next moves, even in the middle of this season. And the next move after that, and the next move after that. There is a purpose in everything that He starts and a plan for its completion. He is never caught unaware. God already knows everything. That just blows me away. Just because the plan changes in the middle does not mean the purpose has been abandoned. There's an old saying that we have back home. There are 10 different ways to skin a cat. And God has many ways to bring His purposes to fruition, many different ways. So don't let an earthly hiccup cause deep concern. Stay true to the vision, the heavenly perspective, for its completion, regardless of circumstances, and watch what God is able to do. Hope is also an O with open hands and open minds. Let's look forward to the next section of this magnificent adventure. What miracles are going to occur to help carry out God's vision for this area? What new Holy Ghost plans and methods are we going to be able to tap into? Things may look a little different, but who wants to stay stagnant all their lives anyway? We're supposed to be a river of grace to our neighborhood, to our people, not a cistern for holding water, but a living, moving flow of God's love outwards. How might that look? Will it be the same? Will it be different? Will it be fresh with new emphasis on devotion and ministry? What have we done that has had wider reaching impact than just giving us Holy Ghost goosebumps? Let's keep our minds open and watchful and hopeful for a greater move of the Spirit in action. Let's look for new places, new opportunities, new people to share the gospel with. Let's not be so precious with our faith Let's not hoard it. Let's find new ways to let it go. Another O for hope is open hearts. What depths of relationship will we be able to achieve as we tuck up close to the Father's heart and stay under His wings of protection? What new heart styles will we be able to develop as we allow new relationships to develop with people all around us? What new revelations of the heart of God will we be able to comprehend? Will we be ready to have hearts that rejoice with God when miracles occur? Will we be willing to have our hearts broken as God does when some tragedy strikes? Are there areas in our hearts that we hold too close that God wants us to let go of? Let's keep our hearts open to receive all that is in the heart of God. There is a song that we sing sometimes that has a couple of lines that are really so good, and I'd hoped we'd got to play that this morning, but we didn't get to play that one. It's from the song, We Are Here For You, and it speaks to me of Father and Son and Holy Spirit being here for us. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. Do you remember that in the song that we sing? God is always willing to communicate with us. We just need to keep open minds and not place limits on His call because it doesn't fit in with our puny understanding. To you, God says, our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. If we are willing to chase after, to pursue, to ask, to seek, to knock, and to keep on asking and seeking and knocking until our human understanding falls in line with God's way of thinking. And even if we never understand it all, which we probably won't, let's keep pursuing His wisdom. Let's constantly keep chasing after His wisdom, constantly asking Him, what's next, Lord? What's next? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to speak with? Constantly on that move. Another O for hope is open hands. Have we held on too tightly to our vision and ideas of what church is? Have we closed our hands in self-preservation and self-protection, keeping the rest of the world outside? As we give of ourselves and our resources to the vision, give of ourselves to the people who are drawn by the vision of God for salvation and spiritual revival, what rewards will we see in other people's lives? And when we open our hands to give, what rewards will we see in our own lives? Remember the scripture, God says, when you give, it'll be shaken down, pressed together, and running over. Will men give into your bosom? If we're going to be open-handed with our church, we need to be open-handed to receive as well and to be expecting to receive. We've never been known as that greedy, money-hungry church down on the corner. We've always been known as the church that gives out the cakes and the fun day and hugs and smiles and roses and coats and words of encouragement and prayer and shoulders to cry on when they're needed and laughter, which is a great medicine as well as a weapon. Let's keep this open-handed approach to doing church. Remember the verse in Galatians 6:9 that says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. We continue doing well because we hope for the reaping of the harvest of what we have planted in love. That's why we keep doing this stuff, because we're hoping for the reward. We're hoping for the harvest. That's all part of hope. The P in hope is for perseverance. The continued pursuit of walking in faith that God is indeed leading us. Like that World War II poster says, keep calm and carry on. We get to thinking, oh, this is too hard, this is too difficult, this has gone wrong, this is not working, the machine back there doesn't work, the lights don't work, this, that, and the other thing. Keep calm and carry on. If we keep on keeping on, staying true to the vision, we will see the rewards that God has intended for this area. Look how long it took us to get Job Club going. Over 2 years we spent before we had any kind of real success with more than just one client at a time. Go back and look at the life of Joseph that Ian preached about a few weeks ago. How long that took him to get from the dream to the position that he had. And in worldly terms, look at Thomas Edison and how many failed attempts to make a working light bulb. Over 1,000 things he knew that didn't work. Now that's weird. And how many attempts at powered flight before the Wright brothers were successful? And did you realize that that couldn't even begin to happen until the invention of the combustion engine? So one thing has to happen before another thing can happen before another thing can. It's a continuous keeping on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. Perseverance, stick-to-itiveness. It's all part of staying true to the vision. Another P for hope is patience. Patience and perseverance are twin characteristics. They go hand in hand. It takes patience to work through various solutions when trying to solve a problem. It takes patience to allow God to have His perfect way in us personally as well as in this corporate body. If we get in a big rush, we'll miss some fine nuance, some fine detail that God may want to bring out in us that will perfect us as a body. If we forget to look on the face of Christ, how can we reflect Him in the community? If we rush past the love everyone we meet, how can we expect to draw anyone here? If we hurry the process of living like heaven is near, we will miss the joy of kingdom living and we'll get it all in a kerfuffle when things look like heaven is some far distant dream. Now, who wants to live in a kerfuffle all the time? I don't. I want to live in the peace. I want to look, I live and love that way that we're supposed to. But let's not get the idea that sitting still and doing nothing is patience. Patience is not the absence of activity. It's the attitude that we have while God is working things through for us. It's an attitude that says no matter how long it takes, we won't let go until you bless us. Just like Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. That's patience. Hanging in there, keeping on, keeping on, never letting go, constantly asking the Lord, bless us, Lord, bless us. Another P for hope is being prepared. We hoped for a great Christmas celebration, didn't we? Everybody at home. We also prepare for the event. We plan the menus, the gifts, the shopping, the invitations. We invite people to come to the celebrations. We clean our house for the benefit of guests who will be staying with us. We make our Christmas cakes well in advance so they've had time to properly mature. We save money all year long in anticipation of buying gifts, etc. We prepare. Now, how can we best prepare during this transitional season for the church? This is where our spiritual nature kicks in. We pray. We pray. We align ourselves with God's purposes, with His vision, with His plans. We ask for wisdom, and His word promises that when we do, He will give it abundantly and not scold us for asking or not asking sooner. Remember that prayer is not only asking for stuff, but it's also praise, worship, and adoration. How many times in the scriptures did the praise team, the worshipers, the prayer warriors go out before some huge battle, before some monumentous miracle happened? Even Jesus prayed before His ordeal on Good Friday. And I don't think that that was just some selfish little prayer like a get-out-of-jail-free card, but it was a prayer time of worship and adoration. He was there for an hour or more, or maybe 3 hours or more, worshiping God, praying to the Father, seeking His wisdom, asking for the strength to get through the next day. That's what we need to be doing as well. Let's be in that same frame of mind. Praise and worship and adoration for the goodness of God already shown to us and for the wisdom and leading of the Father for the time frame to come. Let's remember this promise of God from Psalm 32. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That's God's promise. The E for hope is expectation. How many of us hear people pray for something and then they say out loud, oh, I doubt that that'll ever happen? Have you ever heard that? Oh, well, yeah, you can pray for me, but I don't think that's, you know, God's not going to do that for me. I hear that all the time. Or they ask for healing prayer and they say, oh, but I doubt that God will ever heal me. Or they get talked out of some great vision because they doubt that it will ever come to pass in their lives. Well, how can God produce this great vision or miracle if we do not expect it to happen? Do you remember that little video that we saw at Christmas? They won't be expecting that. Remember that? The Jews were expecting a Messiah. They were expecting a Savior. They were expecting a King. They just didn't expect it to come in the fashion that God chose to use. We can be of the same mind frame. We can expect God to move in mighty power in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones, and in our church, but still be surprised at how the answers come. So let's live in expectation. Let's constantly be on the lookout for some miracle to occur. Let us constantly be aware that God the Father is on the scene, that the Holy Spirit is on the move, and that King Jesus is working at the right hand of the Father to bring blessing and increase to us all the time. My sister said something to me over the 3 weeks that she's been here about hope, and it's another spelling. He ordains people eternally. I thought about that statement over and over, and it fits with the scripture in Romans 11. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He ordains people eternally. His gifts and his calling are without repentance. Father is always looking for a people who will fall in line with his way of thinking, his way of doing, his way of being. Part of our hope is that we really are ordained by God to fulfill his purposes and plans and the lives and live the lives that he has set out for us. To be the church that he has ordained for this time, this city, and this neighborhood. As we take the next few months to process change, let's do so with an attitude that is filled with heavenly perspective, open minds, hearts, and hands, prayer-filled preparations and patience, and an attitude of great expectation of all that God is doing and will do. Let's stay true to the vision and always live in hope. Let's keep this scripture first and foremost in our minds, for the vision still awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Now I'm going to ask for a commitment from y'all. You don't have to raise your hands unless you want to. That's up to you, totally. I'm not going to put any pressure on you. But I want you to do these things. Let us commit to praying daily for our church. Pray for God's wisdom for the future. Pray for the leadership. Pray for an increase of funds. Pray for a renewed vision for this area, both for the church and personally. Pray for an increase in Holy Spirit activity, signs and wonders, miracles, healings and provisions. Pray without ceasing, in season and out of season. Be the forward guard, the prayer warriors who go out before the battle. Be the praise and worship team. Be the ones speaking prophetically over the future of Slough as God gives you vision and encouragement. Let's rise up to this next challenge and meet it head on, knowing that the battle belongs to God and his army, and that's us. And no matter the outcome, praise God for his goodness to us in all things. Pray, pray, pray. Pray as though the future depends on it, for it does. Father, I'm asking you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to help us to become the prayer warriors, the praise warriors, the worship team in this community. Father, for everything that you have still to accomplish here in this church body. Father, bless us with your wisdom, with your love, with your encouragement. Lord, we give you honor and thanks and glory for everything that you've done over the past few years. And Father, we give you praise and honor and glory for the things that you're going to do over the next 7 or 10 or 15 years. Lord, we're not placing any limits on you. Father, we just fall in line with your purposes. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.